In order to grasp that precious attitude, I make fine offerings to the Tathagatas, to the true Dharma, the Immaculate Jewel, and to the oceans of qualities, Bodhisattvas, as many fruits and flowers as there are, whatever kinds of medicine exist, however many jewels there are in the world, all clean and pleasant waters there may be, mountains of jewels and likewise forest groves in solitary and delightful places, bushes adorned with ornamental flowers, and trees whose branches bow with splendid fruit, incense and perfumes as from divine worlds, and so forth, wish-fulfilling trees, jewel trees, and crops that grow without the need to be plowed, all ornaments that are fit to be offered, and lakes and pools bedecked with lotuses, where lovely swans have the most delightful calls, everything that's unknown extending to the edges of the realms of infinite space. I imagine taking these and offer them well to the sages, greatest of beings and their offspring. Sublime and greatly compassionate recipients, think of me lovingly, accept these from me. I am bereft of merit, destitute, and have no other wealth that I could offer. May the protectors who think of others weal accept these through their power for my sake. Forevermore I offer all my bodies to the victorious ones and to their offspring. O victorious one, accept me entirely, and I will be your dedicated servant. Because you have accepted me completely, not fearing existence, I will benefit beings. I will transcend my previous misdeeds and never do another wrong again. Within the sweetly fragrant house for bathing, where the bright and lustrous floors are paved with crystal, alluring pillars are aglow with jewels, and glistening pearls are draped in canopies, I bathe the Sugatas and Gamsattvas from precious vases that have been filled full of water imbued with many fragrances, accompanied by song and instruments, with cloths that are beyond compare and clean, infused with a fine scent, I dry their bodies, and then I offer them the finest robes, well dyed and most delightfully perfumed. I drape Samantabhadra, Lokeshvara, Manjushri, and the other noble beings with fabrics that are delicate and soft, and hundreds of the finest ornaments. Like polishing the purest refined gold, I apply the finest scents whose fragrances waft everywhere throughout the billion worlds to the radiant bodies of all Sugatas. I offer the great beings I venerate, the lords of sages, every fragrant flower, mandrava, lotus, jasmine, and so forth, and pleasing garlands strung attractively. I also offer billowing clouds of incense filled with the sweetest, most enchanting scents, and royal feasts I offer them as well, replete with an assortment of food and drink. Further, I make an offering of jeweled lamps arranged in rows on golden lotuses. I scatter the petals of attractive flowers on a paved floor anointed with perfume. I offer those who are compassionate numberless palaces adorning the sky, beautifully glowing with strings of pearls and jewels, and echoing with melodious songs of praise. I also offer to the Lord of Sages beauteous jeweled parasols with golden staves, fine-shaped, upright, and pleasing to the eye, their rooms festooned with winsome ornaments. And furthermore, may there extend clouds of attractive offerings with lovely tunes and instruments that soothe all beings' sufferings. May rains of gems and more continuously shower down on all the jewels of the true Dharma, as well as on stupas and likenesses, as Manjugosha and the others make offerings to the victorious ones. I also to the Tathagatas, the protectors and their offspring. I ask all the oceans of qualities with the oceans of melodies of praise. May clouds of hymns and praise of them arise just so continuously. I prostrate, bowing as many bodies as there are atoms in all realms, to all the Buddhas of the three times, to the Dharma and the sublime Sangha. I prostrate to the sublimated sites and stupas of the Bodhisattva. I also prostrate to the abbots, the masters, and the supreme adepts. Until I reach enlightenment's essence, I go for refuge to the Buddhas. I go for refuge to the Dharma and Sangha of Bodhisattvas too. To all the perfect Buddhas and their offerings impelling in all directions, to those endowed with great compassion, I join my palms and supplicate. In this and in my other lifetimes from beginningless samsara, I've done misdeeds unknowingly, or else I've made misdeeds be done. I see that when I have rejoiced or come by ignorant confusion, I've been mistaken, I confess to the protectors from my depths. I have, because of the afflictions, caused harm with body, speech, and mind, to the three jewels and to my parents and to the gurus, among others. My offenses have been numerous. I, who am depraved and vile, have done the most terrible misdeeds. I confess them all before the gods. I am going to perish quickly before I've purified misdeeds. How can I be rescued from them? I beg you, please deliver me. The Lord of Death, untrustworthy, won't tarry for what's done or undone, so no one, whether or not they're ill, should place their trust in fleeting life. I must leave all behind and go, but I have not yet recognized that. For the sake of those I like or dislike, I have done various misdeeds. Those I don't like will cease to be, and those I like will cease to be. I myself will cease to be, and everyone will cease to be. All of the things that I have used will become objects of memory. As if experienced in a dream, all that is past won't be seen again. Even during this life, many of those I like and dislike have passed away, and yet the terrible misdeeds I've done for their sake remain before me. Because I have not recognized that I am as well am ephemeral, I have committed the wrongs out of delusion, greed, and hatred. Not pausing even in day or night, this life's continuously depleted, and there is no extending it, so why would one like me not die? While I am lying in my bed surrounded by all my relatives, I will experience alone the feeling of my life being cut. When seized by Yama's messengers, what good are friends, what good are kin? Merit alone will guard me then, but I, alas, haven't practiced that. Protectors, I have carelessly committed numerous misdeeds for the sake of this ephemeral life. There's any danger. If people who are being led to have their limbs chopped off today look different than they did before, with their parched mouths and bloodshot eyes, what need to say how wretched I'll be when Yama's henchmen have me seized, their physiognomies dire and dreadful, and I am gripped by terrible pain? Who will protect me truly from this horrifying danger? I'll cry, eyes bulging with terror as I search in the four directions for a refuge. But seeing no protection in the four directions, I'll then despair. If there is no refuge in that place, what will I do at such a time? Thus from today I'll go for refuge to the victors, guardians of beings, who strive to protect all wanderers, those with great power who dispel all fear. Likewise, I truly go for refuge to the Dharma they have realized, which dispels the terrors of samsara, and to the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. Petrified with dread, I give myself to Samantabhadra. I also make an offering to Manjagosha of my body. I cry a miserable wail to guardian Avalokiteshvara, whose acts of mercy are unmistaken. I beg, protect me who have done wrong. To noble Akashgarbha and to Kshitagarbha, to every one of the protectors with great compassion, I cry from my heart in search of refuge. I go for refuge to Vajrapani, upon the sight of whom from fear malevolent beings such as the henchmen of Yama flee in the four directions. I have in the past transgressed your word, but now that I have seen the peril, I go to you for refuge and plead, swiftly eliminate this fear. If one must do as doctors say from fear of ordinary illness, what need to speak of being infected continually by the sickness of the hundred wrongs of lust and such? If even one of these can ruin all people who live in Jambudvipa, and no other medicine to cure it can be obtained in any direction, to think that you might not do as directed by the omniscient healer who removes every pain would be blameworthy and completely deluded. If you must be quite careful of a minor ordinary chasm, what need to mention the abyss in which you'd fall for long a thousand leagues? It is not right to sit content, saying, I will not die today. It is inevitable the time will come when I cease to be. Who is it that will free me from fear, and how will I escape from this? I certainly will no longer be. How can my mind remain at ease? My past experiences are gone, and what do I have left of them? But out of my fixation on them, I have gone against the Guru's commands. If I must leave behind this life along with family and friends, and go off somewhere else alone, what good all those I like I dislike? It would be right to only think in just this way all day and night. Non-virtue leads to suffering. How can I be freed from it? Whatever misdeeds I have done from being ignorant and deluded, whether they're naturally unwholesome or disobedient misdeeds, within the presence of the protectors from fear of suffering I enjoin, bows and prostrate repeatedly, confessing to every one of them. I supplicate you, guides, accept that my misdeeds have been mistaken. They were not good, and therefore I will never do such acts again. The second chapter, Confession from Entering the Ways of the Bodhisattva.